The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
A big item on the news agenda today was the detached modular homes that are to be built in back gardens and the fact that they will be exempt from planning permission under new government proposals. Today, these exemptions are now available for public consultation. Well, I'm delighted to say that I'm joined in studio now by Minister for State for Planning and the person who's leading the charge on these exempted developments, John Cummins, Fine Gael for Waterford. Minister, you're very welcome.
Thanks very much for having me on the programme.
Now, Minister, these were your a brainchild, really. I'm just sort of interested in how they came about. Did someone propose them to you? Was it in your mind? Did you get a review? How did they actually come to fruition?
Yeah, I suppose, well, these are contained in the programme for government that was negotiated over the Christmas and into the new year. It was to examine the introduction of
so it was something that came up in the course of the election campaign. And what exactly are you proposing? Because people think of it as modular homes, but there's more than that.
Yeah, it's a wide range of exempted developments that are out now for public consultation for the next 4 weeks. Modular homes is one of those to exempt, single standalone dwellings of up to 45 square metres to the rear of a dwelling from the requirement to go for planning. And I suppose, you know, when people think of these, I've heard them being described as beds and sheds and things like that. Like, I think that's an insulting description to some of the top quality manufacturers here in Ireland that are providing top quality product. The reality is these are very different to the prefabs that I would have been in school when my school was being extended. These are high quality A-rated homes done in accordance with building regs. And what I want to do is bring forward what is, I believe, a common sense and practical measure. You can have a 40 square metre extension to the rear of your property right now today under existing exemptions. What I'm proposing is to allow it to be a 45 square metres that doesn't have to be attached to the main dwelling house. And of course, there has to be safeguards in terms of setback distances and all of these. But this is one of a range of proposals that I want to hear from the public now over the next 4 weeks. There's others in the area of agriculture, education, health, a wide variety of areas, because this is the first updating really to any great extent in the last 25 years for exempted development to remove things from the planning system that doesn't need to be in it.
Mm. And the other things before we get into the modular homes, which we will, are those attic conversions. Just take us through that list. It's the attic conversions. What else? Can subdivide dwellings.
Look, there's a whole range of items across a number of categories. So if you look at in terms of housing, there is those attic conversions, ability to be able to have dormer windows, the ability to be able to have bike storage, simple things that shouldn't be in the planning process. When it comes to education, the likes of exempting schools from the requirement to have to go for planning if they're looking to put in an area that for the hot school meals in order to heat up meals, in terms of health, in terms of removing the need if a big development is going on in a hospital and they're looking to decamp some accommodation to other locations within the grounds, that they don't have to go in for planning for that, in terms of utilities for Uisce Éireann and simplifying things for them. And it's not an exhaustive list. As I said, I've kept it broad for some of them, and I've been more specific in relation to others, because I want the public to buy into this and give their views on what they feel should be exempted from planning. And as I said, it's the first real significant changes in these in 25 years.
Yeah, and I do think it's important that, you know, while we're all focused on the modular homes, there's a greater attempt here, because you want to try, I guess, and do everything you can to help this housing crisis as well. And that's probably why the modular homes has become the touch point.
Yeah, it has become the touch point. And I've been heartened by the feedback that I've received from the public since putting out this proposal in March. You know, I've been contacted by people with a disability that need to live close to their family home, but want to live independently. Older persons that might want to right size within their own communities, but can't find that appropriate accommodation. They might want to give the existing property to a son or a daughter that have their own family but live in close proximity. So it's about providing options for people. I'm not dictating to somebody that they must do this, nor is the government. This is about common sense and practical measures and removing things from the planning process that don't need to be in it, because we do know there are pressures in terms of planning departments right across our local authority system. So the more things that we can remove from the need to go through that planning system with the right safeguards in place, the better, in my opinion.
Yeah, and you say you've been heartened by a lot of the feedback that you've gotten on it, and I'd argue that maybe the reason why you're getting so much positive feedback is there's so many people with their children stuck in their box room and living, as the CSO pointed out, in their childhood bedrooms up to the age of 30.
Yep.
So just to be cynical about it, maybe there's a great willingness to do anything at this point. What would you say to the sceptics who look at this proposal and say, really, is this the best you can do to come up with a way to solve that crisis of people living in the homes? I'm not trying to be cynical. I'm trying to be devil's advocate.
Yeah. And look, this is just one option. I've never said that this is the panacea to solving our housing crisis that we have. Absolutely not. We need to continue to ramp up the delivery of homes, all types of homes, social, affordable, cost rental, private homes. That's why the decisions that we've made within government in terms of the recent changes, bringing forward the zoning requirements today for local authorities to translate what is in the national planning framework into zoning on the ground for much needed housing. So this is an option for people. It mightn't be a permanent option for some people. It might be a stepgap, but that's for them to decide. And I just feel, since coming into this role as Minister of State with responsibility for planning and local government, I've tried to introduce common sense and practical measures for people. And as I said, not to dictate to anybody, just to provide options.
Yeah, and I accept that. What would you say to people who might say to you, okay, your notion of this and my idea of this is that it'll be someone moving out of an existing home, one person, maybe a child who's, you know, now not a child, but an adult who's now working, but wants independence. As you said, an elderly person maybe staying in the family unit, but living independently, a disabled person. But what if it isn't? What if it is two adults and four children? What would you say to how somebody who would ask you, how are you actually going to regulate that? How are you going to police that? And when that becomes an issue, not just for the family unit themselves, but the services that that family unit might need, like water, like electricity, how do you endeavour to control that side of it?
So, as I said at the outset, currently you can build on a 40 square metre extension onto your property today without the requirement for going for planning. And all those matters to do with water and electricity are all dealt with in that.
With respect, Minister, you're not going to be able to move an entire family into an extension of a house that's contiguous to a house that's going to be completely self-sufficient. It's just, it may be possible in these modular homes in a way that it just isn't if you just add an extension onto
a house. This is a 45 square metre exemption is what is being proposed here. That's a one bedroom apartment. So, you know, it's not a family circumstance.
It's not a family circumstance.
Although, as I was going to say, I'm not blind to the fact that in houses right across the country, there are families that are living in overcrowded situations. They're in that bedroom with their family as it currently is. And if this is an option for them, to provide them with an option that they can live in better living conditions, well, then that's what I'm trying to provide as an option. But it's not in place of providing adequate amount of social and affordable and cost rental and private homes into the market. We need to get to 50,000 homes every single year being constructed in this country. We're obviously at a high number in terms of social homes that are being delivered, but we need to go beyond that, and we also need to drive affordable delivery. So it's not in place. It's it's an option for people as I see it. And both Minister Brown and I will continue to put every mechanism and means possible into ramping up the supply of homes right across this country, because for the people that are driving in their cars this evening, that's what they expect and that's what we're trying to achieve.
Minister, you know, we could have actually done a whole segment based on the text messages that are coming in for you. You know, like those ones they have after the budget where you ask the minister questions, I've got loads of questions in here. So I'm going to fling a few at you, and then I'm going to come back to the state's role in all of this, maybe. There's a timber, so some commentary as well. And please do keep sending your text messages in and maybe say where you're from and your name would be helpful. There's a timber factory a mile from me. They will build and assemble beautiful, spacious log cabins at your home on site. If a log cabin is within those restrictions, is that a viable option?
So obviously they'll have to be built in accordance with building regulations in the same way as if you were building an extension onto your property today. So they're there, they're in place, and I expect more companies to develop
products that meet that. Okay.
Exactly.
A lot of people in rural Ireland have space to build a self-contained unit at the rear of their houses for older parents in order to give their house to their family. Will this plan allow that to happen?
It will. Absolutely.
I guess you can do what you want with those buildings.
I have in the commentary in relation to this that there'll be a requirement for at least 25 square metres of open space remaining in a rural setting. That's less of a problem than it is in an urban setting, but that is important as well, and I'm open to hearing feedback from the public as to what they feel is, if there has already been an extension onto the property, do we need to have further open space requirement if this is going to be provided? So these are the type of things that people can feed in on.
And that's a great point, actually, because I'd spotted this residual space issue. Will somebody police that? Or like, how do you see that happening?
So at the moment, if you're availing of any exemption, it's up to you as the builder of that to make sure that you're in compliance.
But if I build a big modular home and I only have 5 square metres in addition to my house, who's going to come along and say, Monty, that's actually...
So it's local authority enforcement.
So they will have to do that themselves.
Yes, but what I envisage in this proposal is that you would have to give a notification to the local authority that you are carrying out this development. So you would know where these modular units are located, in the same way as we currently have planning exemptions. If you're converting a former pub into residential units, you have to give a notification to the local authority, and that's why every year we're able to publish the stats in relation to the numbers of housing units that
have
been delivered.
There'll be a register of sorts with your local authority.
Exactly.
Okay. So another comment here on the housing issue. They're very impressive. I was very surprised by modular homes I've recently visited. I've gone from dreading the potential that my family and I may need to order a modular home while we save to actually consider if a 3-bedroom is something we could actually be quite happy in for 10 odd years. But that's not a stopgap if somebody has to consider that option, isn't it?
Well, obviously that person is talking about something that is bigger than 45 square metres, in which case they would have to go through the regular planning process. But I do see modular and 3D volumetric being a large part of the solution in terms of ramping up supply. I've seen it in Estonia when I was there with the Joint Oireachtas Committee for Housing in terms of how they are producing modular homes for families. And we do have an emerging industry here in Ireland. I was in a factory in Mead that are now going to increase their output from 70 to 300 units per year through significant investment that they're putting in. And I do see, in terms of everything, be it health, education, housing, we are going to see a lot more off-site construction using modern methods of construction going forward.
In the state's role in this, I'm just kind of interested to learn a bit more about that. So you'll have a registration system where you'll register and notify these to your local authority. What else? Because some people might suggest that, and I'm not even getting into the housing crisis, I'm just taking this as a singular attempt to alleviate a bigger problem, because we could literally do the whole segment on the housing problem and how it's not been tackled. But I'm just taking this at face value. So what else contribution will the state have in this? Is there any design modifications that you specify other than the square footage? Is there any stipulation beyond that about You know, energy regulations. How do you see this working?
So we have stringent certification processes in terms of modular accommodation through NSAI.
For people who make them, though, is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, for the companies that construct them. And there are a number of pending certifications that are in for certification. So I do see that there will be more companies,
as I said. And what if I build my own out the back garden? What if I decide to build a 45 square metre, cabin myself?
So it has to be, anything that's done will have to be done in accordance with building regulations, and that's very important. In the same way as if you were building an extension onto your property at the moment, it has to be comply with fire and building regulations, and
it won't be
any different in this circumstance.
But I don't think that message has entirely gotten out there, because I think that some people do think that it's not, there's not a prescribed buyer.
And I suppose that's the purpose of getting out there on programmes like this. And I want to thank you for facilitating the discussion. And I think it's important that people do feed into the public consultation that we're carrying out over the next 4 weeks, because it's important to hear from manufacturers, from the public, from industry experts, to hear a whole range of views. And as I said, I know we are focusing on one item, but there are a whole series of other items in that exempted development public consultation, because they haven't been updated in 25 years. And just to reiterate, I want to ensure that we have common sense and practical measures, and we remove the burden on local authorities so that planning staff can be freed up to deal with those other development proposals that are coming in with them. Because in my opinion, there's planning staff that are tied up with needless applications that shouldn't be in the planning system.
Just final brief word on this. So the consultation process is 4 weeks. You can have your say now. What do you see happening after that? What's the time frame?
Yeah, so after that, we have the planning and development bill, which I'm implementing over the course of this year. Exempted development regulations will be commenced as part of part four of that bill later in the year. But I do see the possibility of bringing forward a few of these proposals, perhaps around Ishgair and the modular homes and the slurry storage for the agriculture sector, which is very important in the context of our nitrates derogation. So I see those coming forward before the others end of September, early October.
Well, Minister, I'm sure you won't be surprised that you'll get a lot of contributions to the consultation process, and we wish you well in your endeavours. Minister, thank you very much for coming in. Minister for Local Government and Planning, John Cummins.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.